The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 47, and let's use it to celebrate the ascension of Christ, to recognise him as our sovereign God, the King of all the earth, who reigns over all the nations. May we praise him with great joy, for he is greatly exalted. Psalm 47. For the director of music of the Sons of Korah, a psalm. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amidst shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sound of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. He is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now in a moment I'm going to read a prayer of the Apostle Paul for the Ephesian Christians. It's an immensely rich prayer and it has lots to teach us. But today, listen out for the description of the ascension and heavenly reign of Christ, which the incomparably great power of God has achieved. This resurrection power, wonderfully, is the same mighty strength which is at work in us to give us new life, to make us like Jesus, and to empower us to live for him. So our next reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to the end. Paul says to the Ephesian Christians, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God has placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." The claim of the ascension is really the basic Christian claim that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's nothing more fundamental to our faith than that. Jesus Christ is Lord. It's rather silly really to divide up the birth, death, resurrection, ascension of Jesus and play them off against each other. But in a way, there's nothing more important than the ascension, although we sometimes neglect it. Of course, Jesus is and always has been the eternal Lord and King. He always was the Son of God, reigning in glory with his Father in the power of the Spirit before time and the universe. But in time, Jesus became incarnate. He became a real human being. He took on flesh like ours. And for a while he was the Son of God in weakness. The God who made the universe lay in a manger. He was a tiny, helpless baby. And even in the strength of his manhood, he was tired and hungry and so on. His glory was hidden. But at his resurrection, Jesus becomes the Son of God in power. His body is raised and transformed and renewed, and he will never die again. He's still really human, he's the God-man, but he's released from the human weaknesses that afflicted him in the days of his earthly ministry. His glory is revealed. And the ascension is the completion of Jesus' saving work. It's his coronation service when his father says to him, "Well done, son, your work is finished. Come, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." So Jesus is the ascended, reigning king. He really does rule over all things. That was the claim of our reading, wasn't it? Let me read to you again from the middle of verse 20. "The risen Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father in the heavenly realms." Verse 21. "Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but in the age to come. God has placed all things under Jesus' feet, and appointed him to be head over everything, for the church, for us." What a wonderful and reassuring message that is. Jesus, our Saviour and brother and Lord and friend, has come into his kingdom. He is Lord. In his ascension, as it were, he's publicly enthroned as the world's true king. He rules and reigns over all things. He is managing every proton and planet for you and me. He is governing England and Ethiopia for our good and his glory. And yet we don't see Jesus seated in heaven, of course. The apostles saw him go, but then they see his absence. They stand there, staring up into the sky, perhaps wondering what's going on. And as we look around us, we see a whole lot of mess and confusion and pain very often. Many continue to rebel against Jesus, many very openly. As Jesus was mocked at the cross, so many would scoff today at the idea that Jesus is the risen King. We're called to live by faith, not by sight. We can read about the ascension in the scriptures, but we can't see it with our eyes. And if we're honest, the effects seem rather doubtful. And yet we're called to trust Jesus, our King. Of course, Jesus could solve all the world's problems in an instant if he wanted to. And in a way, of course, he wants to put the world to right. He's grieved at the wrong and pain of the world, and one day he will sort it out. He is king already, now, but we don't yet see his kingdom in all its wonderful fullness. So we are called for the time being to bow to the superior wisdom of King Jesus. Now, Jesus must have good reasons for allowing the world as it is. He must even have good reasons for allowing the present coronavirus crisis, although we can't necessarily see them. King Jesus must have good reasons for allowing you and me to make mistakes today and every day. Jesus' rule is real, but hidden, and his plans are somewhat mysterious to us. I admit to you, I'm not sure that I would run the universe quite like this. And perhaps it's a good thing, well certainly it's a good thing that Jesus is in charge and I'm not, isn't it? Jesus, our risen King, knows best. He died for us. He loves us. Will you trust him? May God enable us to bow before our crucified, risen, enthroned King, and may we pray and live as Jesus has taught us. Your kingdom come, your will be done. One day he will come again to judge the world, and Jesus the King will bring in his kingdom in all its perfect fullness. Let's seek to be his faithful people until that day. Amen. Alleluia, Alleluia. Go and make disciples of all the nations, says the Lord. Remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. So our brief gospel reading is from Luke 24, verse 44, to the end. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law and the prophets and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what was written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So we said that although we don't see him, Jesus reigns, and that his ways are not our ways. The plans of King Jesus are somewhat mysterious to us. We don't know the details of how long we'll live, what measure of health we'll enjoy, and a million other details. Almost anything can happen at any time. We know Jesus is king, but nevertheless we have to live with an enormous amount of uncertainty. But some things have been revealed, some big things. As Jesus sat down on the throne in heaven, what was still on his to-do list? His work of atonement was finished on the cross, but what are his plans for planet Earth and for his people? Well, much is still hidden, but we can certainly think that there were three things on Jesus' to-do list on Ascension Day. Number one was send the Holy Spirit. You can see that in our Gospel reading in verse 49. Jesus' disciples are told to stay in the city of Jerusalem until they're clothed with power from on high with the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus will send 10 days later on the day of Pentecost. So Jesus' ascension to-do list, number one, send the Holy Spirit. Number two is what Jesus means to do through us, through his people in the power of the Spirit. To-do number two is there in verse 47. The church is to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name to all the nations. That's the phase of history that we now live in. That's what Jesus is doing today, sending his church out in the power of the Spirit to be witnesses to the good news. And number three, on Jesus' ascension to-do list, come again one day to judge the world. Much more could be said, and we have a million questions, no doubt. But in a way, it's very simple, isn't it? Send the Holy Spirit, use your church to preach the good news to all the nations, come again to judge the world. The risen, enthroned Jesus gives us our marching orders. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, we are to be his witnesses to take the good news to all the nations. Like those first disciples, may we know Jesus' blessing and worship and praise him with great joy. May we be faithful witnesses to the ascended Christ in the power of the Spirit. And so to the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, be all honour and power and might, now and forever. Amen.